Lord, you have been gracious to your land. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob. You have forgiven the sin of your people. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord, you are my strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. A few years ago, more than just a couple, back in 1954, I know, all right, I understand, it's okay. I don't remember this song coming out, but I sure have heard it enough since. There's no place like home for the holidays. And ever since that song came out, it has carooned through our minds and our hearts, expressing without a doubt the erstwhile desire, I think, of humanity, certainly that of many people, wishing that their families, if not themselves, could just return home one more time. Maybe not for the holidays, just to be able to return home. Back in a year or two before that, 1886, there was a letter that was published in Harper's Monthly. It was published in the October, the November, and the December editions of that. It was a very short letter. It was written by a mother who said, "Dear son, I know it's been long since we saw each other, but there's not been a day when I didn't miss you. What happened to us was unfortunate. But all is now forgiven. So son, please, please come home." The Old Testament records for us the fact that the people of God had abandoned God. They had decided and acted as if, I guess, God didn't even exist. Because they chose to willingly do the things that they wanted to do the way they wanted to do them, regardless of any possible calamity that may come from such behaviors. Never for once truly believing what the prophets had been telling them for years and years and years, that God was serious and that his wrath was about to visit them. And so all of a sudden, Jerusalem is destroyed. The temple is pulled down. And the people of God are placed into captivity. At least those that are worth anything and worth ransom or whatever, and every one of them were taken back to Babylon. Can you imagine how these people, how they felt? They had gambled so much. They had laid it all on the line without even realizing that it was even a gamble. Because they did not believe for a moment that God would ever hold them accountable. Then the Babylonians came and they were destroyed. Can you imagine how they felt? Living in that captivity. No longer with a home of their own. Living in a very unloved and lonely and confused state as to what the future, much less the present moment, meant. Utterly helpless in their slavery. to do anything about this situation. And it was in that moment that God called his prophet Isaiah forth. And Isaiah said what? I told you so? No, I probably would have said that, being who I am. No, Isaiah said instead, comfort. The words of God, comfort, comfort my people. Prepare in the wilderness a road for the Lord. Clear the way in the desert for our God. Fill every valley, level every mountain. The hills will become a plain, and a rough country will be made smooth. Here was God's promise of restoration. And you notice God said to him, he didn't say, I'm going to take you the safe and secure way, which was, you know, along the waterways and through the fertile ground so they are guaranteed food and everything else. No, he said, I'm going to take you through the wilderness. Shades of what their forefathers had gone through as they escaped Egypt to the promised land to begin with. Here was God saying to them, no matter where you are or what is going on and the temptations and the problems and the threats against you, I'm going to be there to take care of you. I will fill in every valley. I will level every mountain. Every obstacle that keeps you from restoration to me as my people will now be removed. What a word from God. What a word from God. And then, as he does every time, every year, this time of the year, John shows up, Jesus' cousin. And he begins to proclaim the truth of who he is. The voice one crying out in where? The wilderness. The wilderness. Now, let's unpack that for just a moment. The wilderness. This wasn't just a geographical location. This was the situation inside of the hearts of God's people. Have you ever been there? I have. Amen, brother. Amen. I've been there. Maybe you're there right now. I don't know. I can't truly, the x-ray vision I have is limited. I can't really perceive all. But for some of us, we're still in that wilderness. And I say that because for some of us, our present walk with God is conditional. We've chosen to do a yes, but relationship with God. We've decided that as long as he does not intrude into fill in the blank, whatever it is, as long as he doesn't command us to give up, fill in the blank, as long as he doesn't hold us to a level that we're not comfortable with, we're good with this thing, and yeah, we'll be a church member, and we'll go through everything that the bishop did last week and be confirmed or received and reaffirmed or whatever it is, as long as I can still keep my big toe at least in the wilderness. And then John says, repent. That's a phrase that I don't think any of us are fully comfortable with or we like for a moment. And yet John, what John is trying to say to us is that with the fullness of our relationship with God, our total dedication and surrender to him, will come the joy that we have been missing all along, the joy that we thought we had by hanging on to whatever it is that is a limiting factor in our relationship with God. And in the total surrender and the total abdication of all things that present a mountain or a valley or whatever it is in our relationship with God, when it is made smooth, there is a joy there that we have never begun to imagine. My friends in Christ, maybe I'm crazy, and you can tell me this later. Please don't tell me right now. Maybe I'm crazy, but I have this image of our loving Father who is a lot like that mother in Harper's Monthly, who is trying to reach out with his heavenly arms and to embrace each and every one of us in a tight hug, trying to pull us ever, ever closer in this living and loving relationship with us. This divine daddy, if you will, who wants us in this intimate, personal, deep relationship and is never going to be satisfied and will never be satisfied until it's fully experienced. Comfort ye my people, so said John. Well, my friends, I don't know about you, but in this Advent season, I'm more than ready to heed the words of John. As I was working on this sermon several weeks ago, and I began to tick off all of the things that are the valleys and the mountains in my own life, that the barriers that I have helped erect between myself and God, I began to realize that they were there. Some of them I had not even realized were there anymore. And I'm beginning to level those things out and allow the Spirit of the living God to take firm hold of me in such a way that joy that John spoke of can be fully mine. Not just for this season. It's not enough just to go home for the holidays. It's time for me, it's time for all of you, for all of us, to come home. That we are then fully the children of God that we're meant to be. Fully the people of God in this broken world. Fully the person who can make a difference in another's life. That we too can show them the comfort of God that we have found. And we're never ever going to do that fully until we possess it for our own. To God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion now and forevermore. Amen.